impress the presence of everybody here tonight. We're going to try and get through this again like we did this morning. And we'll manage. It won't take us too long to do this. Anyway, what should a Christian be? What kind of people are we? And the thing we need to emphasize more than anything else is we must be different. We have to be different from the world around us. That just goes without saying. That's what God expects of us, to be different from this world, because we are different. And the Bible teaches us what we should be. And too many times people, once they've been baptized, say, well, I'm a Christian now, so they just go about their business as if nothing had ever changed. And Christianity is supposed to change people. It's supposed to change all of us. So let's notice the things of what we should be. We should be doers. You know, James 1, 22 and 25, be you doers of the word and not hearers only. And so that's what we need to do. We need to be doing what God says, not just hearing about it. You know, we can go to church all the time and hear all these messages, but if that doesn't translate into our life and out there in the public, it's not doing us any good. So we need to be doers of the word. And if we do so, he who does the will of the Lord will be blessed. Blessed are those who have done these things. At Revelation 22:14 says, and then Hebrews 5, he is the source of eternal salvation to all those who obey him. And that's what Jesus Christ is. He's not the source of eternal salvation for everybody, unless everybody chooses to follow him. Those who do what he says are the only ones going to benefit from this. There's those out there who reject Christ and who don't listen to Christ and don't act like they listen to Christ. And they're thinking, well, I'm okay because he died for everybody. No, it doesn't work that way. He's the author of salvation to those who obey him. And we have to emphasize that to people. A lot of people don't like hearing that. And Jesus said, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. And that's true. There's a lot of people out there screaming, Lord, Lord, and telling, I love Jesus and all this, but yet their lives don't reflect it. Their lives don't show it. And so Jesus said, has a word for them. Depart from me. I never knew you. Acts 5:29, the apostle said, we must obey God rather than man. And most of what we do in this world is because that's what expected we're to do. I mean, they expect us to behave in certain ways. And in some circles, you're expected to act like a bad boy or a bad girl. Some circles, you're expected to be, I mean, just a vile person. And we're supposed to obey God rather than men. Acts 6:46. We're to do what Jesus says. We're to be reminded of that. Doing what Jesus says to do. And it's like when Mary and they were at the feast for one of his very first miracles. The servants were over there and she told Jesus they have no more wine. He says, woman, what have I got to do with this? My time's not yet come. And she looked at the servant and says, whatever he tells you to do, do it. And so we're supposed to do what Jesus says. In Proverbs 28, it warns us that he who turns away his ear from listening, even his prayer, is an abomination to God. So those who turn away their ear from receiving instruction from God, even their prayer doesn't work. A lot of people want to pray when they get into a little pickle. And they think, well, Lord, hear me now because I'm in a pickle. But no, if they haven't been living the way God wants them to live, prayer's not going to do them any good at all. We need to be wise. And that's what James 1:5 tells us, that we're to ask God for wisdom. And if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who will supply all things abundantly. And so, yes, Christians are to be wise. The scriptures make us wise unto salvation, as we read there in 2 Timothy 3:15. And Jesus said, when he sent out the 12 and the 70, he said, be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. And in the other words, he talks about a wise builder. Okay, a wise builder is the one who takes the words of Jesus and acts upon them. He is wise. The one who takes the words of Jesus and does not is going to be the foolish builder. And in 1 Corinthians 3:11, we're to build on the right foundation. As Paul says, there's no other foundation under heaven by which we must be laid than that of Jesus Christ. Proverbs 30:11 says, he that winneth souls is wise. When we have the courage to share the gospel message and try and tell people about salvation and the fact that they are lost and they need to change their ways, that makes us very wise, and we should be doing that. Another thing, we are to be ready. 1 Peter 3:15, be ready to give an answer of the hope that's in you. We have to do that. We do that by sanctifying the Lord Jesus in our hearts. And 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourselves approved and knowing how to handle the scriptures aright or correctly. Titus 3:1, remind them to be ready for every good work. If you're going to be a teacher of God's word, the people that are listening to you, you've got to remind them to be ready for every good work, not just when it's convenient. I mean, we've got to be faithful Christians 24/7, not just Sunday morning between the hours of 10 and 11 or 11 and 12. Galatians 6:10, we need to take every opportunity to do good to others. And that's something we get so wrapped up in ourselves sometimes, we forget there's a whole world out there. And they are hurting, and they are lost, and they are hopefully some of them are seeking. But we need to take the opportunity to do good for others. Matthew 24:44, we need to be ready for the Lord's return. He is coming again. He said he would come, and of course, when he makes a promise, he keeps those promises. So we have to be ready for that Lord's return, and we better be in a ready condition when he does return. Romans 1:15, we need to be ready to teach, just like Paul. Paul says, I'm ready to teach you the gospel, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. So yes, being ready to teach wherever we may go. And Paul, that's basically what he did everywhere he went. The first place he went was to the synagogue and started reasoning from the scriptures with those people. Then he would be able to take it out into the public and preach to them. Matthew 28:19, Jesus said, make disciples of all nations, teaching them all that Jesus had said unto them. Whatever Jesus has instructed in his word, and not only his own words, which are written in red, but all the words that he instructed his disciples to teach. He says, I'm giving you this commandment. You go and teach these people. And whatever you say, if they reject you, they reject me. If they reject me, they reject God. Christians need to be forgiving. And that's true. Holding a grudge doesn't do any good. It's harmful, and it's a very heavy burden upon us. We need to be forgiving one another. Ephesians 4:32, forgive one another. And that's what we should be doing all the time. And it's easy to forgive our brethren because they're such lovable people. But what about those who are not so loving? It's a little bit more difficult, but we're commanded to forgive. Matthew 18:21. How many times should we forgive our brother? Seven times? 70 times 7. All right, you want to get out and get technical? 490 times. And are you going to sit there with a chalkboard and start scratching off every time you forgive somebody? I mean, your book is going to have to be pretty big, isn't it, in order to keep that kind of record. I actually heard of a preacher one time who kept such a book. So, anyway, that was many years ago. Luke 17:3. We may have to rebuke others, but we must be quick to forgive. And that's a lesson we need to learn. Yeah, sometimes we have to tell people, that's not right. You're doing something wrong. God's not pleased with your behavior. And you better straighten up and just be ready to forgive them as soon as we can. That's what we must do in the same action in many ways. Matthew 18:35, we will be treated in the same way we have treated others. That's the silver rule, right? Treat others like you want them to treat you. Yes, and so if we are willing to forgive someone, hopefully they will be willing to forgive us. But whether they do or not, we still have to be willing to forgive. All right, steadfast. Christians should be steadfast. And we touched on this morning. It says, a firm, fixed, settled, and established. That's what Webster says. That's where our faith needs to be. And then, of course, 1 Corinthians 15:58, be steadfast, immovable, and strong in your faith. But also, as we point out this morning, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So movement is still involved in standing firm. We have to take a stand. We have to dig in. Because, I mean, if you've seen any movies where people are battling, the enemy's going to confront you one direction. If they get whooped, what do? They run off and hide? No, they come at you from a different direction. And that's what Satan does. We put up our shield of faith, say, Satan, just get away from me. Guess what? They're going to come around our backside. They're going to try and attack us from the backside. So we always have to be ready and watchful. Acts 2:42. Disciples continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, the breaking of bread, and in prayer, and meeting from house to house. I mean, they were steadfast in that. 1 Corinthians 16:13, Paul says, stand fast in the faith, which is basically kind of a repeat from 15:58. But yet, excuse me, we have to stand fast in the faith. 2 Timothy 3:14, he says, you continue faithful in the word. And so we must be doing that as well. We need to be constantly studying. Next verse says, study to show yourselves approved. All right. Christians need to be watchful. I mean, we see creatures go around not paying attention. But if you watch the creatures of this earth, you look at the squirrels. Are they watchful? Oh, yeah. You get around them, they're going to be watching. Birds are watchful. Animals are watchful. I mean, they're watching your every step. Walk along the trail and you look out, see the deer out there in the creek, and they got their eyes on you. They're going to see what you're going to do. As long as you're walking along the creek, that's okay. But they're still watching you. If you turn around and start walking down into that creek, they'd take off. I mean, animals are that way. They're watchful. Why? Because there's danger around. The potential for danger is something that scares them. And if you see a bird land on the porch, you go outside, it flies off. You've gotten too close to it. And so, we as Christians, we also need to be watchful because our adversary is seeking to devour us, and we've got to put up our defenses. See, Matthew 26:41, Jesus told Peter and James to watch. He didn't tell them what to watch for. That's the only thing. He didn't tell them what to watch for, and so they fell asleep. Three times they fell asleep. Revelation 3:23, the church of Sardis was told to keep watch. Keep watch, because the Lord is coming again, and we have to be ready for that, and we have to be prepared for that. If we didn't think God was coming today or tomorrow, we're going to let our guard down. If we thought he was coming here tomorrow, we'd make sure today and tomorrow we were on our best behavior, wouldn't we? Absolutely we would. 1 Thessalonians 5:6, he tells them, watch and be sober. In other words, pay attention to what's going on, because there's a lot of forces in this world wanting to destroy you. 2 Timothy 4:5, watch in all things. In other words, pay attention to what's going on. And in everything, not only the way we live, but how others live. What we can learn from others by their actions. And when we see their foolishness taking place, make sure that we don't follow in that same pattern. And then we need to be peaceable. Getting along is what we should be doing. Romans 12:18, be a peaceable people. That's what Christians are supposed to be. They're supposed to be at peace with others. And the idea of militancy really doesn't fit in that factor. Now, years ago in the Crusades, when they were trying to put down what the Muslims were doing in the Crusades, they basically got all these people. They were militant Christians. They're going in killing these people who were so evil. But according to the scriptures, we're not supposed to be doing that. We're to be at peace with these people. To the best of our ability, it says. Romans 14:19 says, seek peace with all. We should be seeking peace. Now, some people don't want peace. We know that. Some people don't want to get along. And so they just want to be antagonists all the time. Hebrews 12:14 tells us to pursue peace with all men. Do the best you can. If they want to be a stick in the mud, if they want to be a disagreeable person, doesn't mean you have to hang around them. First Peter 3:11, seek peace and pursue it. Getting along with people, that's what we need to do. Always griping and complaining about people is not seeking peace. Trying to be nice to people is. Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers. And that's what we should be. We should be trying to make peace. And when we see two other people squabbling, we should try and get them to make peace, if it's at all possible. 1 Timothy 2:1-2, we should pray for peace. You know, praying not only for our leaders and praying for all those who are in authority, praying for all mankind. I mean, we know that most of mankind is antagonistic towards God. We can pray on their behalf too, that they have a change of heart, that they see the value in serving God. We should pray for that. And yes, we should pray for peace. Christians should be of the same mind. Philippians 3:16, let us walk by the same rule, and we should be of the same mind. You know, 1 Corinthians 1:10, be of the same mind. Don't be divided. We got to get on the same page. And what page is that? The page that God gives us. God's word is the page we need to be on. John 17, that they all may be united in us, as Jesus speaking, praying to God. The people who listen to me, the people who listen to my disciples, that we all might be united together in each other. And he's talking to God about that. Psalm 133:1, it's good and pleasant for brethren to dwell together in unity. And it is a good thing when that does happen. A Christian should be faithful. And we know that. I mean, be faithful until death. You'll receive the crown of life, Revelation 2:10. Revelation 14:13, blessed are the dead if they die in the Lord. And that's true. I mean, they're going to be blessed. Their deeds will follow after them. But if they're not in the Lord, there's not a blessing for them. It's a curse. Matthew 10:22 tells us we must be faithful until the end. And what end? The end of our life. And if that's it. So we must endure all the way to the end. Stick it out. James 1:12, we must endure temptation. In other words, when temptation comes our way, don't give in. We have to endure. I mean, very simple lesson. There's just so many things that we need to be. And when we start our lesson series on the commands of the Bible, we're going to repeat a lot of these. Because these are things that we should be. And there's a whole sermon on what a Christian should be or to be not. And that's going to take up a whole sermon. So we're going to look at those things. There's many other things could be mentioned, so we have to continue learning to be what God wants us to be. 2 Timothy 2:10, salvation is in Christ. That's the only place we're going to find salvation. We cannot think salvation into our own minds. We cannot do anything of ourselves to merit salvation. It's only in Christ. And when we put our trust and faith in Christ, we obey the gospel. Galatians 3:27 tells us we are baptized into Christ. That's the only way to get into Christ, is through baptism. And of course, people, false teachers out there, they say, well, baptism doesn't do anything. Well, not according to the Bible. The Bible says we're baptized into Christ. Mark 16:16, he that believeth and baptized shall be saved. That's what the words of Jesus himself. The Peter, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. Acts 8:37, making the good confession, I believe that Christ is the Son of God, as the eunuch did. And so, a very simple plan of salvation, but what we need to know, we need to be doing these things. Most of us in this room have already done these things. And we sometimes glory in the fact that, oh yeah, I've been baptized. But the question is, does your life reflect it? And how long have you been a Christian? Some people might say, well, I've been a Christian a couple of years. I've been a Christian for 40 years. Does your life reflect your tenure? Does it reflect? Do you have the knowledge and wisdom to share the Bible with others? Depending on how long you've been here. Because remember, we're supposed to grow. 2 Peter 3:18, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So consider those thoughts. We're going to sing our invitation song. If anyone has a need to respond, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.